Radio 1.
Radio 1 Podcast. The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, if you're somebody that doesn't have a lot of luck with the ladies, but really wants to, I've got something that you will want to hear next. You know what it's like? You go out maybe on a date and you put your special aftershave on and you put some wax in your hair, make a real effort, you know, and your lucky pants you put on. Does anyone else have lucky pants or is that just me?
No.
Now, you know, when you're going out, you put your lucky pants on, don't you, if you're going on a date or if you're going out on the pool or whatever.
What are yours like?
I don't really want to go into details of my lucky pants because then everyone will know. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, he's wearing his lucky pants. I'm not interested. You see? But people do this. Right, seriously, if you're a bloke and you've got a pair of lucky pants that you always put on, let me know. I don't want to feel like I'm the only one. Anyway, that's what you do. You put your lucky pants on and then you go out and then maybe, you know, you have a drink or maybe a meal. And, you know, they do. They come back to yours. So you open the door and let them in. And close the curtains. Maybe light a bonfire. And run a bath. Have a little waz. Pour some wine. Light some candles. And you think you've got them right in the mood, and then they make their excuses and they leave. And you're thinking, well, I've got my lucky pants on, love. You've had some of my wine, and Daniel Bedingfield is on the stereo. What's your problem? But they're like, no, I'm sorry, I've got to go home and set the video. I forgot to set the video for Rosemary in Time or something. Now, that makes it sound like I date old ladies, which I don't. Are they? That's the show where they're gardeners who are also, they solve murders in their spare time, don't they, in between gardening. That's the one, isn't it? Anyway.
Why do you know that?
I just know. So whatever programme it is, they go, right, okay, I'm going now. And you're like, okay. They always go home. But now, that could all change in your life. This has been sent to me by somebody I only know as Dr. Dave. And this, apparently, is a noise that will make ladies go weak at the knees and will there then be... Well, they just won't be able to resist your charms. Now, we've done these noises before, and I'm a little bit sceptical about them. We had the brown noise that makes you poo yourself, apparently. Then there was the young noise, which people only under the age of 25 could hear. Then there was, a few months back now, the noise that makes shopping trolleys lock up. This one will make the ladies swoon. Okay, ladies all over the UK, all my ladies, listen carefully. This is a noise that apparently will get you a little bit hot under the collar. This is science from Radio 1. Maybe you're driving home at the moment, girls. I'd like you to pull over if you feel the need, okay? Because you might get a little bit with this noise, right? And lads, this is the noise that you want if you want a snog from a girl. You don't need to put Daniel Bedingfield's greatest hits on anymore. What you have to do is give him some wine, get him back to yours, and then say, do you mind if I just put this noise on for a minute, love? And it'll work. All right? So this, on Radio 1, is the jiggy noise. Right, I wanted to know if this works, all right? Right, in 10 seconds, ladies, the jiggy noise is on. 5:19 on Radio 1. Okay, girls, let me know if this does it for you. Right, the thing is with this, yeah, when you get them back to yours, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to put this on the stereo, what do you tell them this is? It's a new band. That was the jiggy noise on Radio 1. Let me know if anything happened, ladies.
Scott Mills.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 Podcast.
Now, you'd think that maybe, I don't know, enter Shikari, or indeed the So Solid Crew. Are they still going? You'd think that they would be dangerous gigs to go to, but no. Newton Faulkner, quite dangerous. We should, like, compile a list of all the most dangerous gigs and artists that you can go and see. My friend, Well, a friend of a friend went to see Newton last week, 2 minutes into the first song. She waited there 2 hours, as I told you yesterday. Tripped and really hurt her ankle and spent the rest of the gig in A&E.
One.
Radio 1.
I've got another one. Claire?
Hi.
Hi. Where are you, Claire?
I'm at work at the minute. I'm in Stokesley in North Yorkshire.
Now, you texted me, didn't you?
I did yesterday,
Tell me what happened.
I was at the Travis concert a few years ago and I managed to have projectile vomit for the entire concert in the toilet. So I heard the whole thing from the lady toilets, which was nice.
So this is a Travis gig?
Yeah, about 4 years ago. I was the Man Who, I think.
And at what point during the gig did you start to be sick?
Oh, after about the first 10 minutes, I think.
I mean, it's proper projectile, was it?
Yeah, I've never had projectile vomit like that. It was nice, yeah.
So did you just, like, start throwing up over the people in front of you at force?
No, I actually made it to the toilets, which was all right, but I kept hearing, like, snippets of the concert as the ladies' doors opened and shut throughout the concert.
Who did you go with?
I went with my boyfriend, Colin.
And what did he do?
He sat and watched the whole thing on his own.
He didn't even help you?
No, well, I kept nipping out, and he's like, you're all right, you want to go home? And I was like, no, I'm fine. 5 minutes later, I just run back to the toilet.
Yeah. So your boyfriend wasn't as nice as Natalie Imbruglia was once at one of her parties where Joe Wiley was being sick and Natalie was there holding her hair back out of her face. I can't believe I brought that up again.
No,
every time, don't we?
He has done that before for me, but not at the Travis concert.
Oh, so this is quite regular, is it?
Just a couple of times.
Oh.
And I still can't quite listen to Travis in the same way. Yeah, I've got horrendous memories of Driftwood, but never mind.
Did you have a funny turn? Good morning. Did I mention as well, at Natalie Imbruglia's party, when Natalie was holding Joe Wiley's hair out of her face in the toilet as she's being sick, all of the celebrity guests that Natalie invited had to kind of see Joe being sick as they were waving goodbye to Natalie.
Oh, nice.
So it was like David Schwimmer was there. Bye, Natalie. Great party. And Joe's vomiting her guts up in the loo again.
Scott Mills.
National
Radio 1.
Right, P. Diddy's PA. The search is on. Now, a lot of people are saying, what will happen to your job, Laura, if you get the job as P. Diddy's PA? Well, I think we should do exactly the same thing and advertise it.
What, for a PA for you?
Yeah, which is what you really are, I guess, at the moment. I know that's not your actual job description, but that's kind of what you do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get the P. Diddy job, guess who else is also looking for a PA?
Who?
Trisha. Yeah. Imagine that.
She's just Trisha. As amazing as P. Diddy in my eyes.
What does she do now? Is she still on TV?
I think she's on Channel 5 now.
Oh, that'll be it. Right. What, every day?
Yep.
Right. See, P. Diddy's advertised his on YouTube and MySpace, his vacancy. Trisha's advertised in one of the local papers in the Norfolk area. Imagine the kind of amazing response she's going to get and the kind of people that are going to apply for that job. Right, listen, I've got some more people here. So you've got another option there now.
That's
Trisha,
good,
P. Diddy, you see? So if one doesn't come off, the other one will be fine.
Okay.
Here's some more people who've applied to be P. Diddy's PA. These are your rivals. Now, I think this bloke could be a bit of a threat to you.
My name is Jakub Pavel. I'm 55 years old, live in Poland, and do my nightclub DJ work. I am authentic old-school disco pioneer, mixing music over 37 years.
Yeah, he's an authentic disco pioneer. You're not.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. Does he remind you of anyone?
Wow, wow, he's very nice.
Now, I have to say that at this point he is reading off of lots of bits of paper, which is what you can hear now.
My question is why I would like to be P. Diddy personal assistant. A few reasons.
I have also had other disease in this area.
Okay, what are the reasons, please?
No problem for me to work hard. Problem is to leave my second wife and two boys, Norman Bruno, 7 years old, and Brandon Allen, 5 months old.
Mm.
After work, I would like to search DJs, artists, producers, journalists, places of disco era, and collect materials for my book, Discotheque Pioneers.
Right, so he wants to meet people who can help write a book about the disco era. Mm-hmm. Does he actually want this job or what? He's not selling himself, is he? Do you know what I mean?
Simply, I would like, if chance for, to come to New York together with my family.
Wow, wow, it's very nice.
Right, now, this this next bloke, I think, could be... Calm yourself. I think this is a real threat now.
Oh, okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. Check this guy out. He is good.
Diddy, your search is over. My name is Cordell. I live in Atlanta, GA. For the last 10 years, I've been working as a flight attendant.
He's a flight attendant. It has been for the last 10 years.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
It'll be very organised.
No, you know what that means, don't you?
What?
You know what that means.
What?
This.
That means I'm always going to be on time, I'm very well travelled, but also have a degree in criminal justice from Michigan State University.
That's right, that's what I was thinking. And he has got something extra special. Listen, he can speak another language.
But I think you know that you need somebody with a certain je ne sais quoi, something that can't be taught in books.
Mm. Yeah, he's got a certain je ne sais quoi. Listen.
You also want somebody with a passport, but you want somebody who's well-versed in wine.
Now, I don't remember that being part of the original criteria for the P. Diddy job. He said you've got to be able to read, write and count. He didn't say, oh, I want someone that's well-versed in wine, did he?
Also, too, very well-versed in wines, from working a door to being a manager.
But you are also, I think you'll find, very well-versed in wine.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yes, indeed.
And I think if it just got down to you two at the end, you could have, like, a wine-off with him. And you would most certainly win. He'd be under the table.
Last one standing.
Yeah. You'd win that. You're going to get this job, I tell you.
BBC Radio 1 podcast. Radio 1.
All right, it's 5 to 5 with Scott. Hello. Talking yesterday and today about gigs that are dangerous to go to. Newton Faulkner. Yeah, bad. No, he's very good, but I mean, it's dangerous. Travis also, yeah, dangerous. Now one that's kind of dangerous for another reason. Where are you, Rob?
I'm in Cheltenham today.
Tell me about this gig you went to then. Where were you?
Oh, we were in Tampa, in Florida.
Right. Who was it?
Aaron Carter.
Right. Now, Aaron Carter, wasn't he the little brother of Nick off the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, pretty much.
And you decided to go to an Aaron Carter gig?
Yeah, we were pretty bored.
Who with? Who'd you go with?
My mum, dad, and my sister.
How long ago was this? Because he started his career quite young, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He must have been pre-teen, I think.
Okay, and you went with your whole family.
Yeah.
Okay, and what happened?
Well, we were just listening to a bit of the music, me and my sister, and all of a sudden I turned back for 5 minutes and turned around to see my parents getting a bit frisky.
And Aaron Carter gig.
Yeah.
So, how frisky were they being?
Far too frisky. So frisky we got chucked out. So,
What reason did they give for chucking you out?
Inappropriate behaviour.
So, they were chucked out for being a little bit fruity at an Aaron Carter gig?
Yeah, they were, yeah. I mean, my sister, yeah.
Is this still haunting you now, a few years later?
Yeah, me and my sister regularly, we sort of talk about it and try and get over it, but somehow it's still there.
You have a shrink or any kind of psychological help?
No, but it's something I definitely think I'll consider.
I bet you feel better now, though, don't you?
Yeah, just
talking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, it's bad enough to see your parents kind of doing that kind of thing anyway, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But then it's in a public place, and it's watching Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
Who's about 10.
Yeah.
Was there some kind of walk of shame that you and the whole family had to do as you were marched out?
We were near the back. We didn't have to walk past too many people. But
that's why they're doing it in the first place, wasn't it?
Yeah, the back row. Radio 1.
This is a download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/radio1. The Scott Mills Daily.